Hello and welcome to the financial edition of the Empower Divorce Summit. My name is Heather Debraceni and I'll be your host throughout this event. Today we're joined by Carrie Carbonaro. Carrie, otherwise known as the Money Queen, is a certified financial planner with an MBA in finance and has over 25 years experience in the financial services. Carrie's latest book, The Money Queen's Guide for Women Who Want to Build Wealth and Banish Fear, is an Amazon number one bestseller in several countries. So thank you for joining us today, Carrie.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's just start by, I just wanted to ask you, can you share a little bit about your personal divorce journey with us for the listeners?
Absolutely. So I had one of the record book divorces. I actually thought at one point that it was, you know, one of those worst in history. And people actually always say that they think that theirs is the worst in history until they hear mine and my story. And then they're like, oh, mine wasn't really so bad. So I had the worst of the worst because on the other side of the table was an unreasonable narcissist, attorney, CPA, ex-hedge fund manager, and who, you know, hid all of his assets overseas and played every game to delay and try to actually enslave me, believe it or not, for the rest of my life. And unfortunately, the good news is that he lost, but it took, you know, 4 years and $500,000 in costs, and it was emotionally draining, to say the least. I write about the financial infidelity and some of this in my book.
And I know that one of the things that I can say is that I think even though the stakes were so high in your case, I think that there's a lot of listeners to the summits in general that can associate with that, myself
yes.
included. And you know, I'm happy to hear that you were able to get out of it and turn it into such an amazing a positive experience in your life, if you will.
Yes. Well, you know, while it was happening to me and while I was married to this man and then while I was going through the divorce, I kept saying, there has to be a bigger reason that this is happening to me because this is just so unbelievably unfair what's happening to me. And anybody that heard my story would flip out. And I'm like, okay, I am definitely going to use this for the rest of my life to help women. And that's where I am.
So, you know, and I want to talk about the book because in your book, you break down the different financial steps and kind of and or focus that women should follow during the different decades in their life. And although divorce can happen during any of those decades, as you and
yes.
I both know, divorce is this beautiful time of reinvention. So what are some of the universal financial steps that women can take to help themselves financially while they recover emotionally from their divorce?
Well, it's interesting because I believe, and I feel really strongly about this, and that every woman who's going through a divorce should get some sort of emotional counseling
right.
with, you know, a psychologist or a social worker or a group, something that is going to have something other than, excuse my language, but a bitch session. Can I say that?
Right. Yeah, you can.
can I say that?
You but totally you know, can.
Because sometimes those don't actually yield anything. They actually sometimes rile you up and make you feel worse. So, but being able to let your feelings out in a safe environment and process what's happening to you is the emotional side of divorce is so incredibly important. And if you don't deal with it, it's eventually going to catch up with you and hurt you later in the road, down the road anyway. And believe me, while I was going through mine, I had my therapist on speed dial. And, I mean, I would have to go there so often it wasn't even funny. It was actually embarrassing, but
right.
I needed to because he pretty much saved my life while I was going through that, as well as my fiancé, who was not my fiancé at the time, but, you know, who's now my husband, but this was like a lot of years. Remember, my divorce took 5 years, so it was a long, 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 long process. But anyway, so one of the things that people can do, so they have to take care of themselves that way. And then even if you can't afford it, I think you can't not afford it because there's a lot of good programs out there that will support women going through divorces. Like, for example, I am – president of the Women's Giving Alliance, which is part of the Community Foundation of Southlake in Central Florida. And our charity that we give and donate money to is for the purpose of women and children, but we specifically picked mental health counseling for women. And so that we will actually pay for anybody who's going through a crisis like this. And there's resources like that everywhere. So
right.
I don't ever want to hear, like, people say, I can't afford it. And I'm like, I feel like you can't not afford it. Because if you can't get right with yourself and your head with all the emotions that are going on, then you're never going to be able to move forward in any area of your life.
Absolutely.
So, and then also, back to the finances. So let's say you have, you need to sort of be focused on finances, even though, you know, you don't want to because you're going through this whole horrible thing, but you need to know what's coming in and what's going out, which is the budgeting part, which I think we're supposed to be talking about later. But the budgeting of what's coming in and what's going out before the divorce, during the divorce, and after the divorce is incredibly important.
Right, because just as you or the listener, you know, just as you knew when you were gearing up for your divorce, most people know. There's signs. Even if you were trying to ignore them, there were signs. Just as you could see those signs, your ex could see them or can see them.
Oh,
and
he planned way in advance. He had already moved all his money offshore.
Right. So
before
in your
it
case,
even
I mean,
happened.
In your case, it was extreme. But in all cases, when there's trouble in a marriage, it's not like it just happens overnight.
Right.
There's signs that come up to it. And when you start to see those signs, or before then, I always advocate for educating yourself before then because I wish I had known more about finances before I even decided to get married. You know, that hindsight thing.
Right.
But start to pay attention because you are absolutely right. It's important to really keep your focus on that.
Yeah, it's very important.
And so we were on ways, steps that they can take. There we go.
Yeah, so steps that they can take while they're always know what's coming in and what's going out from a budgeting perspective. And it's funny because I go through this with a lot of my clients, and I say, you know what, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to do anything fancy with this. You can take out a piece of paper or a napkin and write down what's coming in and what's going out every month and add it up with a calculator. You know, you don't have to do any fancy spreadsheet programs or anything. I mean, anybody can do it because it's simple math, you know, adding and subtracting. And so everybody can do that. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it. And then the other way I tell people to do it is just record everything that you've spent in over a 30-day period. And obviously some things are variable, like if something breaks, that's not going to be that's what we call a miscellaneous expense, and that's obviously not an ongoing expense. But you should know what's ongoing your expenses are. And once you know that number, you can start to figure out and build basic financial, like, goals from there. But you can't do anything without knowing that number. That is the basic starting point.
Right. So then what is the key to gaining financial confidence from that point that a lot of women seem to miss?
Well, I think that first, most women don't know what's coming in and what's going out.
Right.
And I don't understand how they could function because that's really scary to me. To me, not knowing what's coming in and what's going out would make me feel like I'm out of control. And while you're going through a divorce, you're sort of already out of control anyway because your life is spinning. And everything's falling apart and reinventing yourself, which is the good part. But, you know, the bad part is that everything's spinning around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can look at it positive or negative, and usually some days it's positive and some days it's negative because I tell people all the time that, you know, while you're going through a divorce, you're going to have you're going to have ups and downs. There's no way. And when I see people who have no downs, I think that they're in denial because they're just not dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. So, it's grieving. It's a grieving process.
So just be really aware of what's coming in and what's going out with your finances, and then that will give you the confidence.
Well, and it's more than that, though, because that's just the basics.
Okay.
So, I mean, to be actually quite confident, I think that they need to know a little bit more about finances and financial literacy. And so that is, I think, not to be plugging my book, but where my book comes in, because it is a nice basic how to learn the basics of financial literacy.
No,
because
and actually,
I feel like knowledge is power when it comes to money. And when you don't know what you don't know, I don't know where you start. You have to start at the beginning.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why I was really excited about the opportunity to interview you was because of your book. Because, you know, I've educated myself somewhat, definitely not at your level, even close. But, you know, I started, especially when I knew that this was going to be a summit that I was going to be doing this year, I said, you know, let me really just, pick up every book I can read on financial planning and everything else. And I loved your book, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you, because you have so many tips that are specifically for women. Because
yeah.
I know I was never educated about money.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
I think, I saw my mom balancing the checkbook,
yes.
And that was about the extent of it.
I was just going to say, that's usually the extent of the women, in the house is, balancing the checkbook or, paying the bills and, making sure sometimes that the budget balances at the end of the month.
Right.
But that's usually it. And then also, using credit cards to stopgap that balance.
Right, which is dangerous.
Or deficit, if there is.
Right. So I know that you have a list of the top 10 things women need to know about money, and we're going to talk more about that later. But although we don't have time to go over all of them right now, can you share the top 3 things to us and explain why they're so important?
Sure. Well, and I'm not actually doing it in order of what is in this top 10. I'm just going to pick out the 3 that I think are most important
okay.
for right now. And one we sort of just touched on a little bit, which was the credit cards. That credit cards are not free money. Use them as you would cash or don't use them at all. And I feel incredibly strong about that. And unfortunately, such a small percentage of the population actually does that. That, probably, I don't know what the statistics are off the top of my head, I'm thinking it's about 70% of the United States uses credit cards and carries balances. And the other 30% doesn't. So you want to be in that other 30% because once you don't have to carry those balances, then that money can go towards other things that you want to do in your life and other goals that you have in your life. And that's where freedom and financial freedom starts to come in. So that's the first thing is beware of free money. Second thing is that budget that we were just talking about. Knowing what's coming in and what's going out. Again, it's really financial planning 101, and anybody can do it because all it is adding and subtracting. And if you're even uncomfortable with your adding and subtracting skills, you can use a program through your computer. Very, very simple to do, and lots of free ones too.
Right.
Third thing I think is most important, and again, it's hard to just pick 3 here, but I like never lie. Don't lie about money or spending with your partner. Full financial disclosure is key to a healthy relationship.
Right. And I want to ask, how do you feel about that, like, as you're going into a divorce? I know I've heard women say, I heard this in a networking group the other day, actually, was that they don't tell their husbands about their little nest egg, their emergency fund. Money, does that include ideas like that?
No. As a matter of fact, I will take out, it's so funny, because I will say, while you're going through a divorce, you can do whatever you want when it comes to that. I am not going to tell you not to lie during your divorce, and I'm not going to tell you that it's bad to hide stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what, you have to protect yourself during that time, and that time's not normal. But if you are ready to, let's say, start a new relationship, the divorce is over, then when you get into a new relationship, I want you to never lie.
Gotcha. So once things have already kind of hit the fan, then
yeah.
you have to protect yourself. But
yeah.
but in a new relationship, that's awesome. So let's talk about budgeting again for a minute. So I know that there are a lot of women, to a lot of women, budgeting is not a sexy topic.
No.
And it can be hard to own up to the fact that we focus more on our wants than on our needs.
Yes.
But, you know as well as I do that setting a livable budget is a huge step towards taking control of your financial security.
Yes.
So what is a safe criteria that we can use to help us differentiate between our wants and our real needs?
Well, I mean, it's really hard because it's funny. In my career working with women with, you know, financial planning, because that's what I do for a living, it's hard for me. I've never actually told my clients ever how to differentiate between a need and a want for them, because it's such a personal decision.
Right.
What I tell them is, you know what's a need and a want. I want you to know what's coming in and what's going out and make sure that it's not a negative number. I want it to be a positive number so that you have money left over. Then you have to go back and figure out what is a need and a want.
Right.
And the more you get that budget balanced or in your favor with extra money, the more you get those wants.
Correct. And I know what I've seen is when I'm working with my clients is that, you know, the income differences in what is considered a need is completely different. Say, if you have a stay-at-home mom who's making, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 a year, and that's her income, and she lives in a small, you know, two- or three-bedroom apartment with her children, a maid, not necessarily a need.
Right.
But you
right.
have a woman who's making six figures who lives in a 3,500-square-foot to 5,000-square-foot home, and she's working and running a business, a maid is a real need.
Absolutely.
And so it's not so much about beating yourself up about what those things are, as it
right.
is just realistically looking at your life. And I totally agree with that, that it should just be about what – making sure that at the end of the month, whatever it balances out to, that it equals, you know, a positive income
right.
in life.
Positive number. And it's interesting because, I mean, I've seen people who make, you know, $50,000 a year and have money left over, and I've seen people that make, you know, $500,000 a year and don't have money left over. So, again, it's all about balancing out what are you spending and what's coming in and what's going out.
Exactly.
And guess what? That $50,000 person a year who's spending less than they make, they're going to wind up having some assets and going to wind up doing better than the person that's making $500,000 that's spending all their money.
Right. They're getting instant gratification but not necessarily long-term.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some keys to financial planning success that our listeners can start to start investing in today?
Okay. Well, you mean like the keys that I have in the book?
So, yeah, a couple.
Okay. So, well, I have like five keys to financial planning in the book. And so one is know your net worth, which is what's your net worth? What are your assets minus your liabilities? And that is your net worth. Now, some of you might have a negative net worth, and that's okay because I say this, that your negative, that your net worth doesn't equal your self-worth, so don't worry about it. But it's a goal to focus on for you to figure out that you want to grow that net worth every year, and you certainly want it to be positive. And if it's not positive, it might just be because, you know, the divorce wiped you out, and that's common too. So you're sort of in a rebuilding mode, but that's an important number to know. That's something that you should know, do once a year at least, looking at that number so you can compare year over year. Keep on target to meet your goals, but you have to know what your goals are first. So I find that a lot of times, especially like you said with the rediscovery of being a divorce or going through a divorce, you might not even know where you are. You know, it might not be a great time to think about your goals. You might just have medium, like, I just want to get through this divorce, you know, and then figure it out from there. But that's kind of important. I think that having an advocate or coach to help you is very important to figuring out where you want to be and where you want to go and make you feel comfortable. And then how are you doing versus your peers? That's a good sort of gauge to figure out as well. And I'm not talking about keeping up with the Joneses. I'm just talking about how you're doing overall with your – we have what's – in my firm, we use a scorecard to figure out what's my score with everything that's in your life. Where do you, you know, what's your confidence level that you're going to be able to meet your goals? And we actually give like a score, kind of like a credit score. So that's my keys to financial planning. And then the other thing is investing, if you want to talk about investing for a second, is that don't just keep all your money in cash, because inflation hurts and you will outpace inflation. You have to outpace inflation in order to invest. And you live longer than your male counterparts, so you have a long time frame. So your money, even though I find that most of my clients are nervous to invest, you really don't have a choice. If you want this money to last you for the rest of your life and you want it to be income-producing asset for you, you have to invest for the long term.
You know, and it's funny that you should mention that, because before I started this journey to educate myself for the summit, I wasn't a cash-only person, but I was dead set against credit. So that was, you know, I guess kind of good in that. But I really was afraid. Like you're saying, I was afraid to invest. I was afraid that, you know, I worked so hard to save my money that I was going to lose it by investing. And I've learned so much more since then from people like you. And, you know, there's so many different other resources, and not just financial resources, but in life in general, goal setting and things like that, that have helped me come to understand that, you know, yeah, my retirement would be great sitting right there where it was, you know, with the sheriff's office that I worked in, but it could be doing so much more for me.
Yes.
And in a safe way.
Yes, exactly. Well, the thing is, what gets women nervous when you say safe, the market has never returned a negative return over a 10-year period. Never. Yet, you hear all the time women say, I'm afraid the market goes down, my friend lost all her money. I hear this all the time. And I'm like, the only way your friend lost all their money is they invested in a single stock, which nobody would recommend, or they were in a Ponzi scheme, which also nobody would recommend, and they got taken. Other than that, it does not happen. It's impossible for it to happen. Yet I hear it all the time with people saying that, because someone told them that they lost money in the market, and then they freaked out and they sold it, and then they lost, and then they really did lose money in the market because they didn't stay in at least 10 years.
Right, they didn't stay the course.
Right.
So, you know, the last question that I want to ask you is, if you could share just one other piece of advice with our listeners about financial planning and divorce, what would it be and why?
Okay, so let's see. I would know your rights before you go to file. I would have a consultation with an attorney in your area while you're even thinking about it, just so that you can have your ducks in a row before you file or before you go through the divorce. Most women are so nervous to do that. I recently went with a friend of mine to the attorney's office, who's also a friend of mine, because she was shaking like a leaf. And this is somebody who's been separated for 4 years and was afraid to go to the divorce attorney. And I said, you should have gone here years ago, but it's very easy to say that to somebody. I should have divorced my ex-husband years before as well, and I didn't, because I was also scared. So I understand, but knowing what you are in for, the costs, you know, what you're entitled to, and even like what you should be hiding on the side, which I'll let a divorce attorney tell you, but like that's the kind of stuff that you should know.
Right, and I totally agree. I always say that the biggest fighter of fear is education.
Right, I totally agree.
You know, your mind is going to make it way, way worse than it might. Some cases it might not, but usually it's making it way worse than it really is going to be. And when you take the time to educate yourself, first of all, then you can say that, like, is this real or is this just a fear? Oh, no, it's just a fear. Okay, you can work through it. But when you take your time to educate yourself about anything, finances, divorce, parenting after your divorce, any of those things, which is part of why we do the summit, is so that you can kind of get rid of that fear and then stand up and say, hey, no, you know what? I'm not afraid of this anymore.
Right.
And I can take control of my finances, or I can take control of my life during my divorce.
Right.
And so, yeah, I absolutely agree. That is an awesome piece of advice. So, Carrie, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know that you have a gift that you'd like to offer the audience, so can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So if you go to my website, which is moneyqueenguide.com, and it's right on the homepage, and you scroll down and you say sign up for, put your email in. Once you put your email in, we'll send you the top 10 things women need to know about money and the first two chapters of my book.
Awesome. So I know Carrie just gave the instructions, but also they will be in your email for this interview, so you can have everything you need to know to access that great gift. And if you'd like to know more about Carrie or her work, you can also visit her website, and I'll give that to you again. It's www.moneyqueenguide.com. And thank you again for joining us today, Carrie. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.